Galatians 4. We read it earlier. Let me say this and then we're going to pray. All that said, as you turn to Galatians 4, remember in Luke chapter 2 that we read last week in the Christmas story, that the angels came proclaiming to the shepherds good news of great joy for all people. You don't have to turn to that, but that was the angel's proclamation. So all this despair, all this, you know, just missed expectations that you see at Christmas time is covered over by this good news of great joy. And so today what I want to do is try to, again, just open our eyes to what our American vision, understanding of Christmas is, and tear it down and rebuild what Christmas is supposed to be. And I think we've been focusing on that for the whole Advent season, but I think it's important to do it again today after the fact. Now that we've experienced it, now that we've walked through Christmas and gone, yeah, yay. Okay? Let me pray. Father in heaven, I don't deserve to teach your word. I am not worthy. I am barely capable. And only in your grace. And so, Lord, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would come and fill this flawed man and open my heart, open my mouth, open my eyes to see and know your glory and grace, and that I would speak your word today and not mine. And so, Father, help me today. May you open the hearts of the men and the women in this room to hear your word, to be just blessed by your word today being spoken over them, God. And may we be reminded today, may that gap in our hearts, Lord, that quite honestly can never be completely filled until the day you return and all glory is in us, Lord, and all sin is removed that separates us, Lord. May today their hearts be open so that gap closes more and more, and their hearts more and more become yours, and the enemy more and more loses ground. And so help me today, God, to be a messenger of your grace to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. I'm shooting for 30 minutes today. Told Rob this. We're already 16 minutes in. I don't think I'm going to make 30. But I want to point us today at some texts. And that's really what my focus wants to be, is I want to point to the Bible. I want to point straight to that. I want to take everything I've said and really just point it back to the Bible, to what it needs to be. Okay? And so I think it's a simple task, but it's something I need you I'm asking a lot of you today, because there's some weighty texts. Okay? And I want you to really drink them in. And I'd encourage you to just this week read them over and over and over again. They're the lectionary texts that we read during the worship time. They're sent out, they're in the email, they're on the church website, on the draw near. It's the lectionary text, but they're there for a purpose. And so I want to just bring them back to our attention today and just kind of reveal again that purpose to us, so that we can then just pour out more worship to the Father. So Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ. You can inject daughter also. Because it's for you ladies as well. And so we just celebrated Christmas, the birth of Christ, what this text is referring to. And so it says, when the fullness of time had come. Sorry. So the fullness of time. So there was this date set in time before time even existed that God had appointed that time is when the Savior is going to come. And so the fullness has come, as Paul calls it. And so it's been fulfilled, the Savior come. The Son sent forth. God sent His Son at that time. He's born of a woman, so He's born. I talked a little bit earlier. Born in the flesh. And so He is born as a man. So God Himself comes to earth, manages to contain all the glory of God into the flesh of a little baby. Somehow, I mean, if that's not the greatest Christmas miracle, I don't know what is. Is that all the power and might of an all-powerful God was packaged up in a womb. But the fullness of God comes, fullness of time comes, the Son sent forth, born of a woman, born under the law, so read bondage. He was born into the same bondage you and I are born into, or the same flesh you and I are born into, yet he did not have the same sinful father. His father was a perfect father, God. And so he did not inherit the sin that you and I inherited. And so he came, and then it says that we might receive adoption as sons and heirs as sons. So the inheritance of God is ours. So there's kind of a threefold thing here. There's the redeem, there's the adopt, there's the inheritance, right? So this fullness of time comes, the Son is sent forth so that he might redeem. He might redeem us so that we could be adopted, and we're adopted, so then we inherit. Right? Got it? Okay. So that time is what has just passed. So listen to how Isaiah, Isaiah 61 is the next lectionary text, starting in verse 10. Isaiah 61, 10 through 62, 4. Listen to how Isaiah describes what the Lord does for us in this text, okay? This, I think, is something we need to just drink into our hearts. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest, with a beautiful headdress. And as the bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as the garden causes what is sown to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet. Until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. Okay, now here, this is where he's saving us, he's redeeming us, he's putting righteous robes on us. And listen to this part. This is what really gets to me. That the nations shall see your righteousness, and the kings, and all the kings your glory. And here you go. And you shall be called by a new name that the Lord will give. So when our adoption comes, we will receive a new name that the Lord only can give us. And so in my study notes, it said that He alone, the Lord alone, defines the destiny of His people. You don't, the world don't, your situation doesn't. The Lord alone, He is the one that names you and defines your destiny if you're His. And so, continuing on, it says, you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem, that's like a crown, in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken. Your name will no longer be forsaken. Your land will no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her. And your land, married. The Lord delights in you, and you shall be married. You shall be called, delight is in her. My name is given. I've given you a new name. No longer are you forsaken. No longer are you desolate. The fullness of time has come. The Son has been born. He has brought redemption and salvation. You have been adopted, and now a new name is given to you. So this is what this is what is promised to those that the Lord adopts. Right? And so, Monday we adopted Callie and Kaya. You know what happened on Monday when they were adopted? They got a new name. Their name has changed. They were born of this. But even our courts that are just man-made courts, man-established courts, signed a piece of paper, and they are adopted into this. Totally different. Born in one, adopted into the next. And so, they are no longer alone. They are no longer forsaken. They are no longer desolate is what this is the same for us. No longer are any of those things remotely true of them. They have been adopted and given new names. And like I said earlier, how do you reconcile that in that my joy is another's pain? My rejoicing is another's mourning. And so we come to this in the Christmas season, and it says, Isaiah says, my delight is in her. My delight is now is in them. The Lord's delight is in us. But it, as the flesh, as in the flesh, a adoption from one to another means a removal. In the Spirit, in the Lord, there's no removal. In the Lord, there's no being ripped apart from one family to placed in another family. In the Spirit of God, it's all a glory that has been provided to us through His love and sacrifice on the cross. And so there is no mourning of our adoption into His family. And so when His delight is in us, there is no despair. Despair has been defeated. And so there's a thing called, it's actually like whatever people that call things, called the post-Christmas blues. It's that letdown after Christmas has happened, and you're like, oh, it's over. Well, you know, it was okay, and we didn't, you know, and got into a fight, and just those blues of the amp up of the season, and then it's over, and we come down. Okay, and so as the season of Christmas is the birth of Christ and the celebration and all the anticipation of the Christmas season has come, there's also this coming blues, for lack of a better word. That it's just there. I mean, some of us are going to experience it more than others, but sociologists and all those people are like, you know, it's just an evident thing. And so how do we reconcile this Christmas, that what Christmas is and what Christmas is supposed to be, in the birth of Jesus Christ, it places us. It is there is no mourning for the adoption, but it is all joy in the celebration of His coming. And so I think that there is one way to do that. There is one way that we can exchange, if you will, the fleshly understanding of Christmas, the fleshly meaning of Christmas that has been pounded into us from childhood for many of us, and replace that with the everlasting joy of Christmas. And it's the psalm that we started with. So C.S. Lewis, let me back up just a second, says that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The praise is not merely The praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. So we read this text in Isaiah about he's covered me with robes of righteousness. We're decked out with beautiful headdresses. The garden is sprouting with fullness. Our righteousness goes forth as brightness. We are a royal crown. We are a royal diadem. We are new names. So all these things that Isaiah says will come to pass, Christ comes, they come to pass. And so those joys, those gifts that were given to us in Christ are not just a gift that, it just much like the gift of, in the gift of Christmas, is not just a gift that we take and enjoy, but it is a gift, as Lewis alluded to here, that is to then to be poured back out. A gift that is to be rejoiced in. A gift that is to be shared. A gift that is to be spent out in praise. All enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. He talks more in this section of text about what good is it to, he said read a good book, but it would probably be a better example to, you know, if you go watch a great movie and can tell no one about it. You know, what good is it if, you know, this amazing thing happens to you and you've got to keep silent? What good is it if I look at my wife and I see just amazing beauty and love and I can't tell her about it? Is my joy complete? It's lacking, isn't it? It's empty. It's like only it terminates on me. And if it terminates on me, then it's left wanting. And so it's an emptiness that is created in me. And so what happens in Psalm 148 is the termination of joy, where joy is to terminate. We're going to read the last three chapters of the book of Psalms. They're short, don't worry about it. But the entire book of Psalms, 150 chapters of Psalms, and it's praise, praise, praise throughout the whole thing. And the last three chapters of as we're going to read together, so you can go ahead and turn to Psalm 148. The last three chapters that we're going to read together are for us what this Christmas season needs to be about. It is what our hearts, what we've got to guide our hearts. We've got to remember those gifts that as Isaiah proclaimed. We've got to remember that Messiah that came in the fullness of time for our redemption and adoption and inheritance. And then Psalm 148 through 150 is how that we now can terminate those things. How we can complete the joy that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And so if we just take this Christmas season and enjoy all the fun that it was, enjoy the gifts that we got, and say, okay, yeah, I'm good, we've lacked. You know, that's where the separation comes. That's where the Christmas blues comes in, and the letdown happens is because we've let that excitement and that joy terminate onto us, or even terminate onto our children. But we haven't allowed that to terminate where it's created to terminate, and that's on the one Lord and Savior. And so let's read today Psalm 148. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, so if you have one of those, that'd be easier to follow in. Okay. Psalm 148, starting in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. Praise the Lord, you great sea creatures and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Make melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Let me say that again. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute judgment on them the judgment written. This is the honor of the ones, of all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Play harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. I kind of like that one. I don't know if y'all kind of like that one. Praise him. Praise him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you see? And I can't, I don't think, communicate it. The depth and the weight of what this means. That if we allow Christmas to just be another day of the year, to be a day that we celebrate, today to be a day that we have fun, to be a day that we see family and friends and eat as much food as we can possibly stuff into our gullets, if that's what Christmas terminates on, Christmas is empty. And it leaves us lacking. And although it may be fun, and although there may be great memories, it will never be what it was created to be. Christmas was created to terminate in praise of the Lord and Savior. That is what the angels came proclaiming, good news and great joy for all peoples, that they may praise God because he has sent the Messiah that has saved us and redeemed us. And so we are so inundated with stuff this season that we have got to be very honest with ourselves and allow ourselves to take our eyes off of those things that are so tempting in the flesh and to put our eyes on the praise that was created, or that it was created for. And so that's all I want to share with you today. That's it. 36 minutes. That's all I want to do today is give you an opportunity to say, man, I haven't. Maybe you have. Maybe, you know, and I'm sure some of you have. But I haven't. I haven't terminated in praise. I've terminated in, man, I'm tired. It's been busy. I'm worn out. I just want to take a nap. But Christmas was created to be a time of praise the Lord. I mean, I think you can make an argument, and I don't have time to today, but that everything in all creation is included in those three chapters. That everything in all creation is included in those three chapters. That everything was created to praise the Lord. Everything. Did you mean wind? Wind, created to praise the Lord. Mountains, beasts, livestock, fruit trees, fire, hail, snow, mist. Mountains, kings, all peoples, young, old, I mean, everything. Flutes, lyres, tambourines, harps, stringed instruments, cymbals. Everything was created to praise the Lord. So if we can't do not intentionally, on purpose, point our hearts at that this Christmas, then it's going to be another Christmas that was just another Christmas. All right? I'm done. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask that we've got all kinds of time. If you feel like your heart is not there, come and pray. Come and ask God to say, man, Lord, help my heart. I've just been trudging through the season and I haven't given everything in to praise you. Help turn my heart from myself and my selfishness and my worldly desires to your praise and to your glory. Don't allow me to just let it be another Christmas. Don't allow yourself that. Come and ask. Come, there'll be a prayer team on the side here as we get ready to sing. Like they're trying to finish some things up back there, but don't allow this to just be another Christmas. So, stand up. Let's pray. Can we get those lights back there, please? Somebody? Paul, can you get those lights? Heavenly Father, it was short. I hope it was sweet. God, it's my deepest desire tonight. Today, this morning, last night, as I was just working through this, how do I, and I don't think I can. I can't. What am I talking about? Only you can, God. Only you can take our hearts that are constantly bombarded by the things of this world, the temptations of the flesh, the yearnings and longings and wantings, the advertisement that is just pounded upon us day in and day out, Lord, that tells us, want this, desire that. Let me tell you about my new car. Let me tell you about my new clothes. Let me tell you about what I got for Christmas. Let me tell you about what happened. Let me tell you about the trip we went on. Let me tell you about the movie we saw. Let me tell you about you, Lord. We proclaim everything we enjoy. We want to share with everyone. Hey, this was fun. That was a blast. This blessed me. This was da-da-da-da. But God, do we do that for our Savior that came and died for us? Are our hearts terminating? Are our hearts substituting worldly, fleshly, empty enjoyments for the ultimate enjoyment of your Son Jesus coming as a baby born in a manger that we are celebrating at this time of year? I think they do. God, I know mine does. I know mine does. I enjoy my new trinkets, enjoy whatever it is that comes. And God, I have to work so hard to enjoy you. And it breaks my heart. So we just want to come in thanks and praise today. We want to come and proclaim today on purpose that you are the reason. You are the one. You have done it. We just want to come and worship and thank you and praise you and proclaim your glory, Lord. That as we read in Psalm 148, we want to praise you with everything we have. every modem, every means we have available in these bodies of flesh, God, we want to turn it back to praising you. Help us, Lord Jesus.